What up? Welcome to another episode of the Dealer Talk Podcast. This is your host, Herb Anderson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Man, this is going to be a good episode. I can feel it. We're going to have a lot of good conversations. But before that, let's talk about some sponsors really quick. Four Eyes. Listen, folks, if you're not using Four Eyes, you're missing out. That's all I have to say. I've already told you why Four Eyes is awesome. I've also told you that they're giving you a 60-day trial absolutely free. The way for you to sign up for that trial is go to the show notes, click the link, sign up, try it, and if you don't like it, you can just move on. But you are going to like it. So check out the show notes, click the link, sign up, and get your free trial. All right. Without further ado, today I have the one and the only Mr. Christian Ferrer. What's up, dude? How are you, man?
Hey, man. How you doing? I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Good, brother. Good. I'm super stoked to have you on the show. We're going to have a great conversation. We typically kick things off. Yeah, for sure. We typically kick things off with an intro. So tell us about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the VP of Sales and Automotive Marketing here at Demand Local. Been with Demand Local for the last 13 years. We recently just celebrated our 15-year Demandiversary, which is, you know, what we call our birthday here. I've been in the automotive industry on the digital marketing side for the last almost 18 years. Originally came from a company called Jumpstart Automotive Media here in San Francisco Bay Area. Now they operate under Hearst Autos. And essentially, I've been working with dealers and dealer associations and their advertising agencies, specifically in the digital marketing field on the automotive side for the last 18, going on 19 years. And a little bit about Demand Local. Demand Local, essentially, we are a full-service automotive ad tech and media agency. We support automotive dealerships, dealer groups, regional dealer associations, as well as automotive advertising agencies. And essentially what we do, we provide ad tech powered media, specifically for the auto industry. We provide search, Google vehicle ads, dynamic inventory based ads on social media, dynamic display banners. We also do a lot of programmatic buying, running display campaigns, streaming radio campaigns, and OTT campaigns, and kind of the whole nine yards. So a little bit of everything, except for, you know, we don't provide SEO or content generation, but all the paid media, we assist our dealerships and agencies kind of like power those solutions for them.
Right on. Very cool. That's why I said, folks, this is going to be a good conversation. You said 18 years of experience. That's
yes, sir.
That's pretty substantial. So let's kind of kick things off with a 50,000 level question. And that question is about, what do you think is the biggest shift, right? And I have some ideas and some thoughts I want to share, but I want to get your take on it first. What do you think is the biggest shift right now that you would say is something that dealers should be looking at for the remainder of this year and more importantly for 2024?
I think, and it's not just, you know, a shift that's happening now. I think it's a shift that we've kind of seen over the last couple of years or so. And I think it really goes into data, data-powered media, data-powered media campaigns that dealerships are running. And when I'm talking about data, I'm talking specifically about first-party data. Dealerships have a surplus amount of valuable data that they store in their CRM systems and their DMS systems. If it's a pretty large size dealer or dealer group that's been around for, you know, 10, 20 years, these dealerships have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20,000 unique customers in their database that is exclusive to them. And the industry has kind of shifted towards, using that, how to capitalize on that data that these dealerships own. How do they incorporate those customers that they've sold to before, that they've talked to before, into their marketing campaigns, whether it's a service campaign or a sales campaign or an acquisition campaign or reselling to customers that have bought from them in the past, because customers that have bought from them in the past are probably more likely to buy from them again in the future because especially if these dealerships are providing the, you know, the customer service for the long-term customers. We, you know, dealerships don't want a customer to buy from them just once. They want them to continuously buy from them, to refer them as a dealership, to buy multiple cars from them for different family members in that household. So, you know, long story short, I think using the dealership's data from their CRMs and DMS systems into their marketing campaigns to make decisions and guide their marketing is I think where a lot of the shift is kind of going towards.
Yeah, so I love that you started with that, or that you mentioned that, because that's exactly kind of where I wanted to kick things off myself. And there's kind of two topics here that I want to kind of unravel with you. Let's start with the first one, which is what you talked about earlier about CRM data in particular. Like, the way I talk to my dealers about that is, you know, we're vying for these customers that, according to NADA, we're paying, you know, $650 or so, you know, when you're looking at a cost per sale, cost per acquisition, however you want to look at that. I personally think that number is a little bit inflated, especially during the pandemic or the last 3 years, because there's far less new cars, right? So, but let's call it $350, $400, somewhere in there.
Yep.
So that's what you're paying on average for that new customer. Yet you have a bunch of customers that already say yes to you. They continue to say yes to you by servicing their vehicle at least once, in some cases twice a year, at your dealership. And there just doesn't seem to be a lot of push or emphasis on those customers. I mean, an email campaign to that segment of customers can be very, very effective, and it costs you nothing, right? And so how do you think that that's, you know, kind of coming into the scene, right? You mentioned how important it is, or the shift, right? Because that's how we kind of kicked off the show. What's the shift that you see? And more importantly, where can dealers kind of take advantage of it?
Yeah, shift in terms of how do we kind of help spread the word that dealerships should be focusing on the data that they have in-house versus trying to find new customers? Is that the question?
Like how do we, okay, because right now the majority of the stuff that we're doing is, first of all, we've gone super digital, which is part two of this question that I want to ask next. But we've gone super digital, I think, right? And then when you go in that direction, how, you know, like, the marketing value, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it's kind of diluted. And why do I say that? Because you can place your cars everywhere, right? You can put them on endemics, you can pay Google and Facebook to drive traffic from, you know, from a click to your website, which is great. You can track all that stuff, fantastic. But where's the marketing message in that approach, right? You're displaying the car and you're displaying the price, and that's it. So with these customers that are your customers that you can send an email to, for instance, now you can have more of a branding message. You can have more of an actual message, you know, whatever advantages you have, or a why buy message, or things of that nature. And so, you know, when I talk about the shift, if we were to shift from this, you know, I want my cars on 1,000 different places because I want people to see my cars, and now we're going to shift that in towards, hey, let's take some of this focus and put it into our DMS, where we have customers that are engaged, or customers that it's going to be a lot cheaper for us to communicate with, and that we can actually tailor a message specifically to those folks. How do you think that dealers should do that? Is it just, you know, like email? Is, like, what would be the way that they can leverage that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think email is a no-brainer. And, you know, like, I think that's what a lot of dealerships and marketing agencies have always kind of like done and recommended in the past, because it's low-hanging fruit, right? You've got these customers, you've got their contact information, especially if these customers have purchased from you in the past and now they're servicing with you. You know a lot about these customers, right? I think it's considered like zero-party data, right? Zero-party data is customers that is information or data that customers are willing to give you based off of, you know, like surveys or information that they are willing to provide you and the dealership is collecting, like, you know, how often are you servicing your vehicle? What services are you getting? What's the make and model of the car or vehicle that you're servicing? What makes and models have you submitted leads for in the past. I think using all of those data points that these dealerships have in their CRMs and DMS allows the dealership to kind of like to tailor a very customized message, not just on the individual level with email messaging, but you can group a lot of those customers into specific segments. So that way you can do, you can shoot them a specific marketing message, whether it's like through an email or a social media campaign or a display campaign to those audience segments. Mm-hmm. So I think like if the dealership is properly using the first party data that they have access to, and they're grouping and segmenting these customers in their database into specific segments, they can break out the marketing messages to the audiences that marketing message will really appeal to. Whether it's the variety of marketing messages that they can tailor towards these customers, you know, can vary from service offerings, from acquisition messaging, from customers that they know their leases are coming up, so they can shoot them specific year, you know, like lease buybacks or new leases that are coming out for those specific customer segments. But I think really where the data actually comes into more use now with the different types of mediums available out there and different types of targeting capabilities allows dealerships to target these audience beyond just custom email marketing campaign, right? Because if we've got email addresses for these customers, we're able to upload those customer email addresses into our Facebook campaigns. And now we can find these customers on Facebook, on social media, and tailor a very specific message to that audience segment using Facebook's targeting segmentations or targeting capabilities. We can even target these customers with display ads through programmatic advertising. So there's a lot of really good programmatic ad platforms out there or DSPs out there that allow you to upload, you know, a list of 5,000, 10,000 customers onto their ad platforms. And those platforms will give you the ability to find those customers online. And now you can serve those customers with display messaging or with display ads, with OTT ads, with streaming radio ads. I think the targeting capabilities that technology has provided us now and in the future has gotten really dialed in, where now we can just upload the information that we have, you know, for our dealerships from the CRMs and DMSs, and these platforms can now find them on the internet beyond just a basic email marketing campaign.
No, for sure, and that's exactly what I wanted to get to, is just show the flexibility in channels and the flexibility and distribution of a message. Because what's happening right now, dude, is I think we're taking traditional approach to a digital world. And what I mean by that is, look at Google and what they've done in the last year and a half or so. First of all, vehicle listings, right? What does vehicle listings allow you to do, right? If you're a dealership, now you can create campaigns specifically to a car, display it on Google, show the picture of that specific vehicle, which, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you're a consumer, if you're a digital consumer and you're given a choice of reading text or seeing a picture, what are you going to click on, right? You're more likely going to click on something that has an image. So versus reading text. So, and then in the same amount of time, and I'm talking about less than 2-3 year span, now they have PMax. And what does PMax do? PMax now grabs all your information, all your assets, and it displays them on all these different places, right? And it the system chooses, you know, where this particular piece of creative is going to have the most engagement, and so on and so forth. And so what they've done with that is two things. Like, now you can do a targeted click campaign to a specific vehicle, and at the same time you can have your message out there and all these different channels, whether it be a why-buy message or whether it be a some sort of differentiator that you think you have, or some sort of advantage that you think you have in the marketplace. And so you can do all those things together. And so where were we able to do that very effectively just a few years ago? And when I say a few years ago, I'm talking 10, 20 years ago. TV and radio, right? You can't have that message on an auto trader listing or on a AIA ad on Facebook. I mean, you can put some creative at the top, but it's just not as effective, right? Or you can put it in the comments, but come on, who's reading comments anyway? So, you know, I think it's getting to a place where we are bringing the opportunities for dealerships to have those messages, but doing it in a digital form, right? I don't know. Those are my thoughts. What do you think? Do you agree? Do you disagree? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. So, you know, kind of like what you just said, especially with Google's Performance Max, I think, like, you know, they're taking an omni-channel approach in terms of finding these audiences, not in just in one place, but in all the different places on the internet that we can find them. And I think with all the ad tech that's provided with us now, with all the different advancements in programmatic advertising, it allows us to target, you know, if we have one email address for this, for a specific user, we can obviously reach them via email. We could find them on social media. We could find them with a display ad. We could find them with an OTT mm-hmm. ad, with a streaming radio ad, with an Amazon display ad, Amazon streaming radio ad. So it's really taking, just having that one touch point and allowing us to be able to find that customer and groups of those customers across all the different channels out there. Is really where we see kind of the industry going, and kind of what we're trying to educate our dealerships on is making sure that you're taking an omni-channel approach, and a lot of your marketing avenues that you're running your ads on, making sure that they're communicating with each other, right? Because even though a lot of these platforms kind of like live in different ecosystems, as long as you're targeting that same audience base on these different ad platforms, you know that you're reaching these audiences in as many places as you can. And I think with the increased growth of, you know, cord cutters, you know, OTT has become a really big kind of like talking point over the last couple of years. And mm-hmm. that's where it kind of goes into, you know, our industry going towards like taking a digital approach to traditional advertising, right? So, you know, traditional television was really big, or is actually still really big, and with the industry kind of going towards the digitized version of it with OTT and even radio and going and transitioning into streaming radio. That's just us evolving with how customers and consumers consume their media, right? They're consuming For the same sure. media. They're just consuming it in different places.
Well, the other thing too, and sorry to interject, but this, you know, this is a thought that as you were talking, I wanted to get out, but the other thing about that too is, if you think about it, like I agree with everything you're saying. My issue is that it's, you can't measure it effectively. Why do I say that? There's no CRM that I've ever seen that tracks impressions, views, leads, right? Every single CRM only tracks leads. So what directly connects via ADF or whatever to your, you know, to the CRM, and then you can take that information. But is that really, I mean, we're talking about, if we're taking Google stats, 29% of folks fill out forms. So the 70% of visitors that you should be focusing on, you can't measure. I mean, technically you can go onto each vendor's portal and get that information, but who is going to do that at the dealership? Nobody. Like, you know, right. Like the average dealership has 12 to 17 different portals open every day. You're really going to log into every single one, extract their information, and then hope to put that together in some sort of, you know, dashboard of some sort to be able to track that effectively. Come on. So I think that leaves a really good, I don't know if problem is the right word, but it's definitely a an area that needs some attention and focus, because, you know, we are going more digital. A lot of these things are going to be less lead centric by design, and so you're going to be left with impressions and views, and without an effective way to measure it, right? So, yep. What are your thoughts on there? Like, where can dealers, or how can dealers kind of leverage that? Like, or not leverage it, but how can dealers get the information they need to make good decisions, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's challenging, right? I think, like you did mention, that, you know, a dealership's not going to do that. And I think that's kind of the wrong, a dealership that's not going to approach, is not going to address that, I think is taking the the wrong approach to it, right? I think they should, you know, invest the time to make sure that, you know, their marketing dollars are actually working. I mean, there's a lot of really good partners out there, consultants, vendors, media consultants out there that can kind of help, you know, manage that for the dealership. There's a lot of, you know, big and medium-sized dealer groups out there that do have a sophisticated internal kind of, you know, marketing auditing system, or even like an internal marketing department that does track all of that stuff. I don't think it's ever going to be able to track every single piece of marketing that's going on out there and tracking every single dollar back to an actual sale, just because a dealership is always going to use multiple vendors at any given time. But I think, you know, on my end, you know, I also fall under the category of vendor, that provides different media solutions. And, you know, kind of what I've also noticed in our industry is that there's been a lot of increased collaboration with a lot of the media vendors and partners out there. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we kind of also partake in, right? Even though we provide search, we also provide, you know, programmatic display buying, OTT solutions, streaming, streaming radio and social media campaigns. We also know that the dealerships and agencies that we work with also, you know, can do that in-house, use other vendors for it. We are, I think for us, like we're more than happy, and we're actually, we promote the collaboration with the other vendors that we're working with the dealership, because even though we're essentially competing for the same ad dollars, at the end of the day, when we're hired by the dealership, like we all have the same goal, whether, you know, all the vendors, the agencies and that dealership, our goal when we're working together is to basically help that particular dealership sell more cars. Right. So, in terms of collaboration, like if we've got that first party data, we've got access to it, we're running it through our advertising platforms where we can use that first party data integrated into our marketing campaigns, and the dealership is using a separate, you know, social media vendor, we're more than happy to take that data that we're collecting from the dealership and process that through our system and pass it to, you know, the social media vendor that that dealership is using. Because at the end of the day, if that if we have access to the data that the dealership is providing for us, it's that dealership's data, and we want to make sure that we're doing right by the dealership and making sure that we're processing that data and passing it along to any other marketing campaigns or media vendors that that the dealership's working with, even though it's not directly affecting our campaigns. Because at the end of the day, as long as everybody that's providing the media for that dealership is working together and we're trying to connect as many dots as we can together, then the dealership wins.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with you. And I just want to clarify, because I'm not saying that a dealer shouldn't do it. I think they should totally do it. And I mean, shameless plug, that's what DT Vendor Management Solution is. Like, we do log into all the portals and we extract all the information and we put it in this comprehensive Excel report that gives you all this information, views, leads, the whole thing for all your vendors. And we make it very easy for you to count, you know, to really see what works and what doesn't work. So, you know, like that is that it's not that it's not doable. There are not companies out there that do it. I just don't think that dealers have the capacity to do it in the scope of all the things that they need to do. Like if they don't have somebody like us or other, you know, vendor managers, you know, collaborating and extracting that, it's impossible. There's no way that somebody's going to sit there and log into all these different portals. And when are you going to do it? In the middle of the month? You can. You got to do it after, right? You're always going to be working in the past. And when are you going to do that? In the first week of the month when you're closing your month? Like, it's just not feasible. So if you don't have like an internal marketing person that's dedicated to do that, or somebody that you pay to do that for you, it's just very, very difficult to keep track of everything. And here's what I mean. So for example, one of the ways that I've picked up clients in the past is I've mailed them an invoice, and you know, it's always been less than $500 or less than $1,000. I've mailed an invoice to them and they've actually sent me a check, and we don't do any business, right? And I've sent that to the GM and been like, this is how easy it is for you to get for people, because some of these things are just paid and nobody's really paying attention and looking at that. And so it's problematic, dude. It's a very I think it's a big problem in the industry. And so, you know, finding a way to to connect the dots. And I like that you talked about the collaboration because I agree. I think that those things have, I think that those things are happening more and more in the age that we are now. But man, it's still very difficult. There's a lot of vendors that are very guarded with their information. And so I think that that poses a lot of issues. So I don't know. I mean, I think that where things are going, there's going to have to, there needs to be some sort of alternative or solution, because it's going to be very difficult to make the right decisions. And I hope that, you know, with some of this technology that I'm seeing, I truly believe that there's companies out there that are trying to move to one system approach. I still think we're, you know, a couple of years away from that, but I think that'd be super dope if you could log into one system and do it all from there, or take all these different pieces and integrate them, and kind of like what Cox Automotive has been trying to do for years. I think for the dealerships, it would be a tremendous advantage. So, but you know,
yeah. And then, like, you know, I didn't mean that dealerships, weren't, you know, like looking to analyze all this data and monitor all this stuff. What I meant to say was, what I meant by that was, you know, you've got dealerships that are monitoring that, but for the dealerships that aren't or don't have the capacity to do it, there's resources out there, right?
Sure.
And I was thinking about you exactly when I was talking about this, because I've seen your spreadsheets that you shared, and that's some pretty impressive stuff. And I think if a dealership can't do it in-house, then they got to look for the Herb Andersons of the world to kind of like do that for them. So yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Resources are available, and dealerships should definitely be looking taking advantage of those.
For sure. So one thing that you mentioned right now that I want to get into here is first-party data, because there's a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings and a lot of fear with this whole cookie-less world and, we're going to be blind, we're not going to be able to track potentials anymore. So can we talk about, kind of break this up into a two-part question? So let me start with the first question on that, and that's, what is first party data? Can you explain this to the audience? Like what actually is, for you to say, first party data?
First party data is data that you own, right? So that's going to be leads that customers are, you know, filling out on your website, leads that you're buying, leads that you
control. So let me interject there really quick, because you kind of hit it sooner than I thought you were. Okay, so just to clarify, because a lot of the conversation, not a lot, but I have conversations where decision makers are concerned that, hey, a lead came in through like cars.com, so I don't own that because it came through cars.com. Cars.com owns that. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, well, so you work with cars.com, they provide a service to you, and most of the time it's leads, right? Once that lead feeds into your CRM,
exactly,
now you kind of own it, right? Yeah. So here's another thing that I kind of explain when I'm talking to dealerships, because we process a lot of first-party data from customers, and the easy examples are, CRM data, DMS data, and I also ask dealerships and agencies, like, do you guys purchase customer list for your email marketing campaigns? And when they say yes, I consider that first party data also. Once they purchase it, now they
own it. You buy
now it's their data
exactly.
That they can use to process themselves.
Yep. For sure. Yeah, no, cool. I'm glad that we touched on that. And so the other thing is, what's this whole cookie-less, you know, how is it going to impact dealers? I'll start with my understanding, because I want to check myself. And then hopefully, if not, then I can learn something. But so, first of all, why is this happening? Well, my explanation is, a lot of these companies, Facebook, Google, all these folks don't want the government basically in their business. And so they're self-regulating, right? That's my 50,000 level explanation. And what does that mean for you? Well, it's not that cookies don't work. They work on your website, but once the customer leaves your website is where you lose that trackability that you once had. Mm-hmm. But once the customer is on your website, cookies and all that stuff, like just like it was and it has been, that's not going to change, because that's your sandbox, so to speak. So I mean, Christian, keep me honest here. What, you know, did I explain that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, that's how we kind of talk about it on our end as well. I think it's just the consumer's concern of, you know, their concerns of, you know, what are these websites? What's the internet doing with their data? They just, you know, they have trust issues based off of, you know, what we've seen in the past with, you know, the Facebooks and the Googles of the world. Just the security of data is a big topic, especially when it comes to internet marketing. And I think third-party data is, you know, relies on a lot of that stuff. And I think it's still solid. We still use a lot of third-party data with some of our data partners and the data that's available in our programmatic ad platform. So we still use it, but what we talked about earlier is the best data is going to be the data that you own, right? Yeah. That data is exclusive to you. And it allows you to, it's the most accurate data. It's data that you own. You can build custom audience segments from that. A lot of ad platforms now too, some of the more advanced ones, allow you to even, build audiences from the data that you have. So you're not limited. When you have first party data, when you're working with kind of like the advanced marketing agencies out there, you know, they're not limited to, or the dealership's not limited to targeting just that first party data. You can actually build audiences based off of your first party data.
When you say build, you're talking about lookalike. Okay. Just making sure.
Right. So you can build lookalike audiences, which becomes like a super custom exclusive audience for the agency, right? Because you've got, I kind of look at it as there's three audience segments out there. You've got first party data, which we covered, that's your data. You've got third party data, which is going to be data that we've, you know, that for the last 15 years we've been buying and adding, you know, behavioral targeted layers onto our programmatic media buying based off of that particular user's or particular sets of users' online behavior, sites that they're looking at, searches that they're doing. They kind of categorize themselves into specific consumer segments. And then you've got kind of that in-between audience, which I call, which is the lookalike audience, right? These are basically people that look like people that purchased from you in the past while layering on in-market auto shopping data on top of them, right? So now these are people that are both in market based off of the third party data that we have access to, and look like customers that are purchased from you in the past because we have access to your first party data. So that I think is where it comes into play, where dealerships, we try to educate them and let them know that just because we're targeting your first party data doesn't mean that we're only targeting your first party data. We're not limited to just them. We can actually build a customized audience based off of your first party data. So it's a super exclusive custom audience specifically for that dealership using their audience database.
Right on. So yeah, thanks for that breakdown. That was super dope. I think that's going to be very beneficial for a lot of folks that check this episode out. So we're getting close to that time, but I'm going to put you on the spot twice in this episode. Okay. So this is the first time. So you have $25,000. That's your marketing budget. $25,000. Yep. You need to build a budget between now and January 1st to kind of offset anything that you potentially see as coming in 2024, right? Interest rates, yep. Potential recession, you know, all these things. How would you structure it? Where would you spend what? And why would you do it that way?
That's a loaded question, man, because I follow that up with probably 30 discovery questions of my own, right? Like, I think mm-hmm. it really depends on, you know, like, what are the dealership's goals? What have they struggled with in the past? What are they looking to do? But I think if I want to give kind of like, a general answer, I think anything that we provide for that dealership in terms of the media, like, we definitely want to use or integrate their first party data into whatever media that we're going to be running. That's going to include customers from their DMS, customers from their CRM, and inventory, right? So, you know, we also kind of consider their inventory on their sites. That's first party data for them as well. So we always want to run, campaigns that's using what they have on the lot, right? Like, let's focus on what you guys have on the lot. Let's sell those right away, because that's low hanging fruit. That's inventory that you've got. That's inventory that we can get into your customers' hands right away. And those customers are going to be the customers in your database, right? And what we talked about earlier is, we're not limited to just targeting those customers, because if we're accessing customers from your DMS that bought a car within the last 6 months, and they're servicing your car, I mean, we don't want to advertise to them with, like, hey, buy a new car from us, even though you bought a car from us 6 months ago. But we can use that audience, and build an audience that looks like them using that lookalike audience model that we talked about earlier, right? So, in terms of like media that we provide, that I think we should spread that out against, with $25,000, I think, we kind of do a full funnel approach with some OTT to get that branding out there, to get that, you know, OTT has been a hot topic lately. Mm-hmm. It actually has been for the last couple of years, but it seems to have taken like an exponential increase in interest, especially with a lot of these premium streaming companies allowing advertisements on their sites now, with Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Netflix. I mean, we get calls all the time asking, you know, how much is that? What's the minimum? What's the CPM? How do we get on there? And I don't think it's just hype. I think that's where customers are. And if we have access to the first party data, I'm a big believer in video, and I'm even a big believer in TV thing. I think TV still works. And I think it's a perfect transition if you're a big believer in TV to transition into OTT. But definitely apply some of that, media against OTT out there. I think a really good social media campaign using, the dealership's actual inventory with, dynamic inventory ads based off of the interest for that particular user. So each of the ads are going to be different to each consumer that we're serving, those dynamic inventory ads to. I'm a believer in the Google vehicle ad listings. I think mm-hmm. you talked about earlier, I'm attracted to pictures. If I'm going to Google and I'm typing in, you know, 2023 Ford F-150, like, I'm more likely to click on, a picture of an F-150 versus reading the ad copy on a search ad. That's just me personally. And I always try to put my consumer hat on.
I think the data agrees with you too, man. Is that just you?
Yeah. but I know I didn't give you like a complete breakdown of how, you know, I'm going to put $5,000 here and $10,000 here. But I think it's really, you know, like, I'd follow that up with like, you know, sit down with the dealership, figure out like, what are their goals? You know, what inventory have you had a hard time? What were some of the challenges that you saw, in Q4 and Q3, you know, what are your goals for Q1? And then I'd put in like a more detailed media plan in front of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. For me, I do 40% traffic drivers, AIA, Google, anything that drives traffic to your sandbox, right? I put 10% into endemics. You don't need a bunch in there. Just have your cars listed, right? Be able to raise your hand. Make sure that you have some sort of data converter, like an auto miner or a co-direct, something like that, that you can run your DMS data against to clean it, and that way when you do your emails and even your Google and Facebook, it'll be cheaper, right? Because you've cleansed the data and now you can, you know, get it out there. And then I put absolutely the rest of that into my DMS mining, mine your service department. I mean, there's great companies out there, Auto Alert, Brick and Tech, I mean, that can help you do the equity and the service side of things. So, by the way, nobody's paid me to say any of that. Those would be my thoughts. But yeah, no, obviously you would have to have a more qualifying conversation. But just for dealers that are looking for kind of like a strategy, I'd say if you start with that, you're going to be in a very good spot. Of course, none of this stuff will ever work if you don't do a benchmark analysis and figure out where you are and where you need to be, right? Kind of reverse engineer your CRM to see how many appointments it takes you to sell a car, and then how many leads you need to get set appointments, and so on and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen prior to that, but that would kind of be my structure.
Yeah, I think
Christian, thanks, man. Yeah, go for it.
I think to add to that real quick, Kirk, sorry. I think what you touched on and what I touched on in my explanation versus your explanation really ties our whole conversation back to what I talked about earlier is the first party data, right? Processing that first party data, using that first party data to power your media. You know, there's a lot of like really good CDPs out there. I think CDP is another big buzzword out there. And for us, I think what we've kind of on the demand local side, you know, plug on my end, we've been really, you know, focusing on how to integrate, how to easily integrate the dealership first party data into their marketing campaign. So we've actually developed what's called Link One, which is essentially a CDP DMP hybrid that allows us to integrate first party dealership data from CRMs and DMSs and inventory providers directly into marketing campaigns. Whether we're running them, the dealerships are running them, the agency is running them, or other third party vendors are running them. But I think really it comes down to capitalizing on the data that the dealership owns themselves.
Right on, for sure. I love that. Thanks, man. Thanks, Christian, for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. There is one question that we ask everybody that comes on the show, but before that, take 2-3 minutes and tell us how to get in touch with you and, you know, how people can check out your stuff. And I told you I was going to put you on the program on the spot twice. So also, this is the opportunity, if you're going to give the audience that listen to this a special something, something, you know what I mean? Like a trial or a discount or something, let us know what that's going to be.
Yeah, well, Herb, first off, thank you for taking the time to chat with me. You know, really happy that you reached out, and we've had a couple of conversations over the last couple of years when we first met. But in how you can get in touch with me, christian@demandlocal.com. Our website is demandlocal.com. We also have what I talked about a little bit earlier, our CDP DMP advertising platform, link1data.com. And phone number, well, actually 707-342-8808. I don't know if you need that, but in terms of like working with us, I think just get with me, reach out to me. I'm at every single major conference out there. The next one I think on the books is NADA in Vegas, in your backyard there, Herb, early next year. I'm sure you guys have seen me around at the conferences. So, you know, give me a handshake, reach out, shoot me an email. I'm around.
So, and if they mention the podcast, what do they get? Like a 10% off their bill or a free 30-day trial on something? Come on, man. Sweet the pot.
We can work on something. 10%. Yeah. 10% off.
There you go. Okay. 10% off, folks, if you mention this podcast. So, hey, dude, thank you so much for doing this. There is one question that we ask everybody that comes on the show, and that question is, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years and why?
Next 5 years and why? I think a lot of AI. AI is going to be huge. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think it's dealerships, their first party data. And when I keep saying that, that means, you know, like make sure that, you know, when dealerships are accessing first party data and inputting customer information into their DMS and CRMs, like let's make sure that there's going to be data integrity in there. Let's make sure that the information is accurate. That way, when we come to use it for actual marketing, actual implementation into our marketing, the information is good and the information is right.
Right on. There you have it, folks. Christian Ferrer, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it, dude. Thank you for listening. That's all the time that we have for today, folks. And as usual, we'll talk later.